Take your Bibles, if you will. I hope you do have your Bible with you. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at the first six verses of this chapter. And I want to preach on the subject, He is risen as He said. He is risen as He said. Matthew 28, just a little historical narrative under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. Beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. We celebrate Easter, and what a great time it is. The Resurrection Sunday, as some have referred to it, already today. But after the crucifixion, these women went to the tomb. They were expecting to find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went there early in the morning. They went there perhaps around 5 o'clock in the morning, and they were going to anoint his body with spices, as would be the customary thing to do. But something different took place, and the angel met them. And the angel said in verse 6 these things, He is not here, for he is risen as he said. And there are three main things that I see in that. We want to talk about those. First of all, the empty tomb. And then a risen Lord, and also a fulfilled prophecy. Let's think about the empty tomb for a moment. Contrary to all of the precautions of the enemies of Jesus Christ, they couldn't do anything about it. They could not seal that tomb or stop him from coming out of that tomb. And they did all they knew how to do. They had the Roman soldiers stationed there. They were big, burly soldiers, and they were not going to let anybody out or in. And they actually put that Roman seal on there, on that stone and on the tomb. And believe me, if somebody were to try to get in there, it was punishable by death. If anybody broke that seal, Roman law said that they would be killed. They would be punished by death. So they thought they had all of this guarded and all of that taken care of. But I want to tell you something. Neither the Roman soldiers nor the seal was a match for the power of Almighty God. Never has been, never will be. And the third day, the tomb opened and emptied out the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, believe it or not, it was contrary to the expectations of his friends. You would sort of expect that from his enemies. But here were those who had followed him, many of the disciples, and they were down in the dumps. They thought, well, the political thing is not going to work out, and Christ is not going to take over as king and get Rome off of our back. And the men that were walking down the road to Emmaus, Jesus said about them, why are you sad? And here were those that were his friends, those that had followed him, even the 11 apostles that were left. They were down in the dumps. They didn't expect Jesus to come out of the grave. In fact, I think some of them probably felt like giving up right about then. And they may have felt like this. Well, it's over. The show's over. Everything's ended. He is dead. And they have buried him in the tomb. And these women came thinking the same thing. His body's there. We're going down here and we expect his body to be there. And we're going to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. But guess what? His body wasn't there. His body wasn't there. No matter the fact that they expected it to be there, it was not there. And they ran from that place. And the Bible says they told the apostles, the disciples, and they just did not believe them. And then two ran to the tomb, John and Peter. and John was younger, and he beat him, and he waited because of respect to the age of Peter, perhaps. And then Peter went in, and he saw his body's gone. And he was sort of perplexed as he came out of the tomb. Thomas was one of the most difficult ones. He was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, followed him around, saw him work the miracles, raised the dead, all of that. And yet he was doubting. We say doubting Thomas. And Thomas was saying something like this: I don't believe it. Maybe it's a ghost. Maybe it's some kind of spiritual thing that we don't know anything about. But I don't believe, and I will not believe until I place my fingers in his riven side and his nail-scarred hands. He was skeptical, and a lot of them did not believe at first. It was also empty, contrary to all the other tombs in history. A lot of tombs out there of a lot of important people. I've been over to Egypt, a number of different places, but in Egypt, I remember going to the pyramids, and I remember going in Cairo to the museum there. And they, at that particular time, had King Tut's remains that were there. It was a magnificent thing to see that and to know about the tomb of King Tut. And my, when they buried them, those noble persons, they buried them with wealth and gold. They made a lot of extra tunnels in those pyramids just so they could go in there, the grave robbers, and rob the gold and all of that. All of these mummified bodies and these potentates that were there. I went up 400 and something feet, had to do a duck walk the last few hundred feet of that particular pyramid. And boy, was I ready to get out of there. I was glad there wasn't a mummied body on the top of it. But I saw enough of those there. But I want to tell you something. They are still there. As far as those bodies there, those mummified bodies, the decayed bodies, they are not alive. Westminster Abbey in London, they have some important people buried there. Browning is buried there. Alfred Lord Tennyson, the poet laureate, is buried there. And you go to Arlington Cemetery in Washington, and there are a lot of famous Americans that are buried there. You go to Mount Vernon and you'll discover there's the resting place of Washington. Now, what's the difference in their resting place and that of the Lord Jesus Christ's tomb? There, people came because of what these places held. And they still go there because they believe that's where their bodies are and that's where they were placed when they died. People come because of what they contain. But when you go to the tomb of Jesus, and I've had the privilege, as some of you have had, to be there a few times, when you go there, we go there, not because it's full, but because it's empty. Because there is nobody there. Theirs are famous because they're full. His is famous because it is absolutely empty. And if it were not empty, we would never have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, probably. But thank God it's an empty tomb. Now, what about the risen Savior? Well, what happened to his body? He's not here, but he is risen, as he said. What happened to his body? It either had to have been removed or he had to rise from the dead. And there were only two groups that had anything to do with it: his friends and foes, as far as what was going to happen with his body. Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple, a closet-type disciple because of the situation, the religious situation, got his body and buried it in his tomb that he had carved out of that stone there in the side of that hill. But either friends or foes were the ones that would be able to take that body if anybody was going to do it. Friends, out of the question that they would do it, why in the world would they do it? Why would they steal his body? Why would they try to concoct such a thing? And they knew better. They knew the guards were there, and they knew if they even made any kind of attempt to steal the body of the Lord Jesus Christ or break that seal, they would die. And the guards were there, and they could not do that. And then the foes, they're not going to do it. Why would they do it? That would play right into the hands of what was being said, because they knew that he had prophesied that if he were in the grave, he would be there 3 days and he'd come out of the grave. And they were not about to help the cause by removing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in any shape, fashion, or form by paying somebody off or doing anything like that, because that would play against what they were trying to defend and defeat. And so all of those alternatives, other alternatives being the thing that was not going to get the job done, there was only one thing left. And that is, he arose. He literally arose. And that's what the angel said right here, that he arose. That's what Mary said. Mary said, he arose. That's what Simon Peter said. That's what Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote, and John. They wrote that he arose. Paul wrote it and Paul preached it everywhere he went. He's alive. He arose. He came out of the grave. He came out of the tomb. And Christians for over 2,000 years have been preaching that Christ arose. And I'm still preaching it. And I can tell you, if it's not true, the church is a farce. If it is not true, Christianity is an absolute hoax, like all other religions might be. I've never talked to anybody who has seen Jesus. I've talked to some who said they did, and I don't believe them. When you ask them, what did he look like? Some of them say he had short hair, and some say he had long hair. Some describe him one way, some another way. I think most of those folks ate too much spaghetti and too late in the evening and maybe had some kind of vision or something. But I've never seen Jesus, and truth of the matter is, you've never seen him in his bodily, in his resurrection body. But there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that he arose. We have records that were left by those who did see him. And God controlled that. We have records of those that saw him and records of their friends who talked to them that saw him. We have Josephus, the Jewish historian, and Suetonius and others who verify the fact that some great and tremendous event like this took place. I submit to you the evidence today that the records are too plain and too unvarnished and very undeniable that Jesus arose, that he arose. Men who wrote the New Testament, we know them, they preached that Christ arose. And you say, well, so what? I'll tell you what. Why would they do that if they didn't believe it? They were thrown in jail for preaching it. If you didn't believe it, it wouldn't be worth it, friend. They were thrown in jail. They were beaten. They were abused. They were lied about. They were ridiculed. They were hounded. And yes, they were killed. They were martyred. And I want to tell you that martyrs are not going to die for a lie. And martyrs are not going to die for a fairy tale. They're going to die for something they are convicted all the way through in their heart that happened. They knew it happened. They saw the resurrected Savior. They ate fish and honeycomb with him. They knew he arose. They knew he was alive. And they said, we're going out. And if it costs us our life, so be it. We know that Christ came out of the tomb. We know that he arose. They were there. They were on the spot. They were eyewitnesses. They lived when it happened. Nobody could fool them. And I want to tell you, that truth, that he came out of that tomb, that he arose, is the thing that transformed their lives from that time forward. It changed them completely. And I'll tell you this, it'll change you completely if you believe it and accept him as your Savior. And I might add, if it didn't really change you, you might want to check up and see what you got. You might have just joined the church. You might have just got a little taste of religion. You might have just got some of what mom and daddy wanted you to have. Friend, you better know that you believe that Jesus died and was buried and he paid your sin debt and that you've asked him to come into your life. And I might add this too. If you really believe that, your life will change. If you still have the same old kind of life and you're not interested in church, in God's people, and spiritual things, you probably didn't get it. You just thought you got it. Because when you get it, friend, all things become new. You change. You're not focused down here on this world. You're focused on that one. It changes your heart. And they spent their lives telling it. They literally laid down their lives because they believed it. And they wrote the New Testament record so we could know of a certainty that Christ arose. And I believe this, the resurrection of Christ is as well established as any fact in history. In fact, more so than some things we accept is fact because it is established. So we have the empty tomb. And thank God, we have the risen Lord. And then we have the fulfilled prophecy, as He said. He is not here. He is risen, as He said. You know something? Things had a habit of happening when Jesus said they were going to happen. Amen? This had a habit of happening. When Jesus said it's going to happen, it just happened. The father had a little afflicted child. He came to Jesus and said, I want you to heal my child. And I don't want my child to die and stay permanently dead. And all. I don't want that to happen. And Jesus said, go home, he's healed. And guess what? When he went, it was as he said. The child was healed. He said, you go out there and you're going to find a colt. And that colt is going to be tied. And I want you to get that colt because I have a purpose for that colt. And they went out there and did exactly that. And it was just exactly as he said. Just as he said. He said to Peter one time, go out and catch a fish and pay your taxes. Render to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. I hate to preach that. But render to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar and to God that which belongs to God. And guess what? He went out and caught a fish, and it had the money in its mouth, and he paid his taxes. Now we can all go fishing tomorrow, amen? As he said, just as he said. He said, you're going to meet a man carrying a pitcher, and you tell that man we're going to eat the Passover at his house. And guess what? That's exactly what they did, just as he said. And he said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And I'm going to be betrayed. And I'm going to be crucified. And I'm going to be buried. But on the third day, I'm going to come out of the tomb. As he said, it happened, dear friend. You can depend on what he says. The enemies tried to prevent it. The disciples were amazed and astonished. But it was exactly as he said. Now all three of these things are a pledge of our resurrection. A pledge of our resurrection. You see, if he could keep his prediction about himself and come out of that grave, then I promise you he'll keep his prediction about us, that we too will come out of that grave. We will rise just as Jesus has promised. Because he said, John 6:39-40, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's what he said, and he's going to do what he says. We have the promise of the resurrection. The Bible says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen? I'm glad that's in the Word of God. The Bible says Christ, the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at His coming. We're going to be raised. He was the first of the type of what's going to happen. In 1 Thessalonians, he talks about the dead in Christ. He tells us that one of these days Christ is going to ascend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which remain and are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, to meet Christ in the air and the saints in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. That's the promise of God's word. Because he lives, we shall live. That is the Christian hope of the blessed resurrection. And it is called the blessed hope. It's not an iffy hope. It's a sure thing. But it is the blessed thing we're looking forward to, is what he's talking about. Now, what would be the condition of this hope that I'm talking about? The condition of this hope. It is not a universal salvation just because Jesus died for everyone. You say, well, I just believe he died for everybody and everybody's going to go to heaven. No, no, my friend. Only they that are Christ, the Bible says. Only those that have truly experienced the true new birth. I'm not talking about just joining a church or just being baptized or trying to do good deeds. I'm talking about what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, a time, a place where the event took place in your heart and you know what happened and you know your life changed and you know you gave your life to Jesus because you were born again. Only they that are Christ. The Bible says the dead will rise. No, the dead in Christ will rise. I want to ask you something today. Do you want that hope? Would you like to have that blessed hope? And again, I use the term, not like we usually use it. I hope I'm going to get it. It is a sure thing. Do you want the sure thing? Do you want the blessed hope? Do you want the thing that's going to take you to heaven? Then you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you have to do? Well, Romans 10, 9, 10, 13 is very clear. God made it very succinct in many different places. John 3:16. But in Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13, he says, if we'll believe in our hearts this truth about Jesus, and we're willing to confess with our lips the Lord Jesus Christ, if we really believe that Jesus died, paid our sin debt, was our ransom, paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future, if we believe that he was here and he was dying for that and he was buried and that he arose, the whole gospel, if we believe that, then he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you go back in your life and point to a time and place where you know that you called upon the Lord and that you really and truly got saved and your life changed and it's been changed ever since? Friend, you can have that experience. I had it when I was a 9-year-old boy. And I thank God I'm still saved and on my way to heaven. And I'm glad that when that time comes, either if Christ does not come in my lifetime and I die one of these days, thank God my body's going to come out of that grave. Doesn't matter if you're buried at sea. It doesn't matter if you're burned in a house and it's ashes. Doesn't matter if you're placed two or three on top, one on top of another. It doesn't matter. One of these days when Christ comes again, the graves are going to open to the believers and we're going to go up and meet the Lord in the air. And those who are alive that are saved will be translated and we'll meet the Lord in the air if we believe it. When my mother died, I had her funeral. I remember the dress she had on. I remember some of the flowers that were around her casket. And I know that my mother knew Jesus. She was saved. She was born again. My dad too. But I remember looking there and walking by and looking at her remains. And I was very close to my mother like many men are, many guys are. And I thought, you know, I'm so thankful this is not it. And I'm thankful that one of these days I'm going to see my mother again. Amen. And my dad, because they're saved, because this is true. As surely as Christ came out of the grave, they're going to come out of the grave too at the rapture when he comes for his own. And we will go up together if I'm alive during that time. If not, we'll just go up from the graves. We'll go up to be with the Lord. And you know, whether you die or whether it's the rapture, it's about the same thing, isn't it? Both cases, Jesus comes for you. And you go on to be with him. If you're saved, I'm glad I will see my mother again and my daddy in heaven because this is true. Christ arose. We have an empty tomb. We have the risen Lord. We have the fulfilled prophecy. And I want to say to you, my dear friend, this, that if you are not saved, you can be saved today and trust Christ and let him come into your heart and know that you're going to heaven. And then I want to challenge you as you think about this truth again in a fresh way that you would make some fresh commitments to God, to this Redeemer, this Savior, this Jesus the Bible talks about that suffered for you, died for you, was buried for you, and yes, thank God, arose for you. This would be a good day to make some things right. It'd be a good day to rededicate your life to Him as you think about what He's done for you. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Let's stand, please. He is risen as He said. I'm thankful for that. While our heads are bowed, dear friend, we're going to have an invitation here at our church. If you'd like to be saved, you want to trust Christ, what you need to do is step out to the aisle nearest you. And our people don't mind moving and moving out. They'll be glad to move for you to come. And you may even lead the way as you come to pray. Who knows? God knows. But if you want to be saved, just step out and come. We have personal workers who are in private. Show you from the Word of God what to do, and you can be saved, born again, ready to go to heaven. And know that someday your body too will be raised from the dead. If you're here and you're a Christian that needs prayer, whatever the need may be, you come. Maybe you want to join our church. Just come and let us know that, and we'll take it from there. Just make your way out to the aisle that is nearest you. Father, we thank You for the truth of the Word of God, this blessed, perfect book. And thank You that Jesus has risen, as He said. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We praise You for that today. I pray, O God, that those who are not saved, who are not real sure, they don't have that peace, that today they'd step out and not worry about the crowd, anything else, that they would just come and be saved, gloriously saved, that they might enter into that relationship with You so they know they can go to heaven. And then help believers to do what believers should be doing today. Have Your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come as we sing? May God help you.